Do you feel continually let down by modern media? Do you miss the good old days, back when all that mattered was a good story and not some agenda? Do you have ambitions of picking up a pen and pad and fighting the creative war yourself? Then this is the podcast for you. Each week, I'm going to talk to a creator who said enough is enough and started making the content they wished was out there. Join us as we discuss the ups and downs of the self-publishing world. We want to help empower you to join the Iron Age of media. Welcome to Iron Age Marketing. All right, welcome to Iron Age Marketing. I'm Nikki P here as always. Today's guest we have on Jeremiah. Jeremiah, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me on.
This is going to be an interesting episode because we have a man of many functions. Jeremiah is a stand-up comic as well as a science fiction author. Is there an intersection between those two things? I'm thinking like Douglas Adams, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of humor in books, I find. Like, I think that, but sometimes it's not done very well. I think it's hard to find a book and it's like laugh out loud funny. I've never found that myself. So, yeah, but I mean, there's some humor. Yeah.
I mean, Terry Pratchett was pretty good at being funny, but.
Okay, I've never actually read his book. I've heard that they're very funny, but I've never read those ones. But Discworld, yeah.
And it's also a very particular type of comedy. Okay. Like, that's. If you like British comedy, I'm a big fan of, like, say, Good Omens.
Right.
That's Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett together. Like,
yeah.
They get funny. But how long has your book been out?
I've had this book out since March 2021, so it's been almost 2 years, yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about, like, the cycle of putting it out and what that's looked like for you?
Yeah, for sure. Of course, it started with writing it. I didn't do any build-up marketing while I was writing it, which was a mistake. I should have had some kind of short stories or something that I was putting out. But
so listen to the end of the episode, everybody, where I tell you how to come to me and we'll put together a plan for how to release a book.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it was a lot of, I made a huge mistake, which when I started marketing it is I put it out without any hype. I just like, okay, here you go. I put one thing on Instagram and that was it. So slowly over time, I've had to learn how to market a book that's already out, that's already launched. So that's been a painful experience, but it's now finally starting to work around that.
Well, the one thing that you can look at it as a positive is for most people, it doesn't matter how long it's been out, it's still a new book to them.
Yeah, true.
I think the place where we'd probably get the most resistance is like if you're trying to shop it to outlets to talk about it, they care about what the newest is. Exactly. And they want to know what that. Your struggle is going to come in more with the pundits, I think, than the people.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if you have kind of pinpointed like what your audience is. For the book, like, do you know who you're trying to reach?
Yeah, I have a general idea of what my audience is. So I've concluded that it's mostly new adults, but it's also like it's soft, simple sci-fi, this one. Yeah. So it expands to people in their 40s, 50s can like it, but I'm focusing more on new adults. And it's not really YA because there's some stuff in there that's a bit too breaks outside of that realm. But yeah. Mostly new adults.
Okay. When you say soft sci-fi, what do you mean by soft sci-fi? Now, I know what I mean when I say that, but I'm curious what you do.
Hard sci-fi is more, there's more delving into the technical aspects of science, real science, you know, real, like, oh, how does this formula actually work? How does, you know, you're really breaking down the technology, how it works. For soft sci-fi is something more like Star Wars, where it's sci-fi concepts like, oh, a laser sword. You don't know how the science behind it. There's a crystal.
And eventually they just give up and say, it's magic anyways.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the actual science. It's more concepts and ideas and using technology to play what that means. Yeah.
Like a lot of it tends to focus on like big concepts and things exactly. like that.
Yeah.
Isaac Asimov, he'd focus on like, what if this one thing was different in history?
And yeah.
I think that leads to more of like the Man in the High Castle kind of stuff. Like it's exactly. to see what this one little difference in the world makes.
Yeah.
So you weren't a big fan of The Expanse. It was just too much science and math for you.
I've heard of The Expanse. I've never actually read The Expanse. Or so I'm really, I have so many books on my series list. That I want to get through, so it's like, yeah.
Well, you're writing them. That's the important thing, right?
Right now I'm in a Wheel of Time, which is 13 book or 14 books long. So I'm like, I'm trying to cycle through that, yeah.
My dad's been trying to get me to read it for 30 years. I'm like, well, Dad, like somebody else wrote the ending of it. Like, I don't know how I feel about that.
I did the Dark Tower series by Stephen King.
Yeah.
He wrote the whole thing. I'm okay with that.
Was the Dark Tower like 9 or 10, right? Or how many was that?
Well, it depends how you count them.
Oh God. So there's the side stories there or something.
Like, well, and that's exactly what it is. The way Stephen King wrote, he technically was probably one of the first people to kind of create his own universe.
Right.
And so like Father Callahan comes in the Wolves of the Kala, and he's the priest from the book Salem's Lot.
Okay.
So is now Salem's Lot a part of this story?
Yeah.
Because that character appears in it. I don't know how to count that.
So it could be like 40 books then.
It's like we just call it the King verse now or whatever it is. So is writing books something you always wanted to do? I'm really interested in this dichotomy of like the stand-up comic sci-fi thing. It's like, are these things that you kind of always wanted to do, or things you just like you found you had a knack for them? Are you trying to, are you leaning in one more direction than another, or are you just, no, this is the entirety of who I am is all of this?
Yeah, I've been writing was more of a thing of, I always loved writing even when I was very, very young. Like I would write, I started writing like fan fiction, and then when we'd have creative writing assignments in school, I loved it. And I didn't start writing until I was in like grade 8, and then I stopped for years, and then I picked it up again when I started screenwriting when I was like 19, 20. So writing was always something that I wanted to do, but I didn't have the work ethic to actually sit down and do it until later.
Yeah, I know how that works.
Yeah, exactly. So you always want to drive Ubers, right?
Just like, yeah, exactly.
Before even Uber existed, you're like, I'm gonna
exactly.
But then stand up was something where it wasn't like that. I just was watching stand up one day and I thought, I want to try that. And that completely changed the course of my life, of just like that whim of like,
was there a particular comic that like really, really sparked it for you?
Yeah, I was watching Louis C.K. actually. So that's hard to say now, but yeah. But I mean, whatever. But yeah, I was watching Louis' TV show and it was just like, I want to try stand-up comedy. And then I just did it.
I'm more confused as to why he didn't get, you know, canceled for Undercover Brother. But
which one?
Is it Undercover Brother, the one that Louis C.K. was the director for that no one knows?
Oh, Pootie Tang.
That's what it is.
Pootie Tang. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like, that was directed by a white guy? That feels like appropriation something. I don't know. So what have you been doing as far as releasing the book that has changed? Obviously, you said that the way that you marketed it and not marketed it, you have learned from that.
Yeah.
And the things that you're doing now, what are they to kind of promote better?
One of the things that helps is doing stand-up. That's been a huge thing, because when I'm on the road or when I just like produce, because I produce my own local shows, I always have my books with me. So then it's like, I'm always able to sell a few, especially when I'm doing like this year, I did some fringe festivals, which is just like arts festivals. So just that brick and mortar, actually doing a show and then people see you have a product. That was like a huge uptick of sales, because people were just like, oh, they liked the show, then they'd buy a book. So that was just, the in-person is a huge thing that helps. So especially when you're like an indie author, but if you have another art form, just doing that in-person really helps.
Well, that's actually interesting to me, because I'm a musician. I come from that. And I remember how hard, like in some of the past couple of years, I got to like sell CDs, eventually just started giving away CDs.
Yeah.
So the idea of like having something hard that people are willing to pay for is interesting to me.
Yeah.
Is it the idea of like, hey, this guy just opened up his mind to me for 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 30, whatever your set is.
Yeah.
But I'm interested more where that mind goes. And this is how I get that. You think that plays into it?
Well, I think that music and like a CD and a book is so different though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not like for music, streaming services have taken over. Mm-hmm. With books, people thought that Kindles and all that would take over books, but it didn't happen. So I think the reason why books are still relevant for me is it's just that it's still the primary way that people read. So it's like, that's how I'm able to sell it. But I do think people just, when they like the show, they like you, and then they want to buy stuff. So I'm sure that like if you did music, like we're selling CDs, like I don't know how long you've been doing it before, but I'm sure that like CDs sold better a few years.
20 years.
Yeah, nice. That's good though. But it's just like, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's funny to me because I guess I've got my bookshelf over here and then my CD shelf right there. And either way, I like to have that physical thing. Yes, I'm going to go listen to most of my music on Spotify, but I still like to have that physical CD. I'm going to be honest, I do most of my reading on Audible or Scribd. So it's like, to me, I don't know why people still put out physical books. and more importantly, why they don't start with the audiobook and then release the physical book. But I'd get it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I have friends that release books. I'm like, well, did you know I'm not catching it until it's on audiobook, right? So get on it if you want me to hear it.
Exactly. I do. I am interested in doing an audiobook yet, but I just still have an audiobook. I just haven't gotten to the point where it's like I can justify the price of buying, because I wanted to be a professional, right? And it costs quite a bit to do it well. That's the thing. So if I was to do it, I'd want to do it professionally. So
What does it mean professionally to you?
Just, you know, it'd have to be a real solid voice actor, and then, you know, all the editing, just like all that stuff.
Really? See, and I'm of the mind, like I don't even like to read books if it's not the author reading the book.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, like I have a guy who's got a ton of books that he's written that I like as a podcaster. And I only listen to his new books because all of his old books he had read by a professional voice actor.
Okay.
And I can't hear the ideas that he has through somebody else's voice. Because, I mean, I've listened to thousands of hours of this dude podcasting. And I'm listening, when you get to the book, I'm listening to some charlatan pretend he's that guy to me. Like, it hurts me here. Like, look, I know you're not him. Just stop pretending. I'll deal with what I can.
Well, is it fiction or nonfiction?
He's nonfiction. So there is certainly that.
Oh, okay. That's a little different. Yeah.
But I still, even with Stephen King will read some of his stories. And I love hearing, he's not a professional voice actor, but I love hearing the way things worked in his head. Even, like, I remember, if you ever seen the horror anthology Creepshow, he plays a character in one of the vignettes that they do in the movie. And it's a stupid hillbilly character, but watching him, the way that he kind of envisions that character is so much fun to me.
Okay.
It's like you get this extra level of, there's the way that I see the story.
Yeah.
And then getting to see it, the real raw vision that the author has.
Okay.
It's like it's so rewarding to me, because it's like you're connecting, or, wow, I really didn't see it that way. Like, why does this guy see it that way? What's the sauce behind that?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of disagree. I just think that, like, because I'm not a good actor. So I think it might change if, like, if the author is a really bad voice actor. If they're just like, Brad. Like, if they're just like, if they can't do it, then.
Yeah.
But that's just, it would be a good way to try it out, I guess. But yeah, I just thought.
Well, and for me, it's like, as a stand-up, it's like, dude, you're already a performer. Like, I can't.
That's true, yeah. But this is dramatic, so it's very different.
And, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. Do you feel however you want to feel about a boss? It's why I wanted to do this. I want to talk to people with perspectives, and, like, obviously you're thinking about things in a way I certainly wasn't thinking about them at all, and that's great. Are the things that you've utilized online, tool-wise, to help promote your book?
Yeah, well, one of them is podcasts, so something like this is just a great thing to do. But there's a lot of websites that you can use. So it's like, I often do discounted books, and there's like services or like websites where you can email them to say, hey, my book is on discount from this date to this date. I always do it consistently. So I always say third week of the month, I always do a discounted book. And then on the last week of the month, there's a lot of places that promote free books. So I'll make the book free for a week. And that's just for building up a fan base, because this is a series. So it's also like you're investing in the future of the series. Another thing is crucial is building an email list. So I've also given out the book for free in exchange for emails.
Yeah.
So then when the second one comes out, which will be pretty soon, I have that huge group of people who have bought the first one. And then they're now in tune to when the second one is coming out. So
this is another thing where, like, the stand-up comic part of it, like, it feels so important to the puzzle. How do you feel about relationships to being part of the, you know, your marketing project? Because, I mean, if you're building emails, like, you're meeting people in the audience, you're developing some type of rapport and connection with them.
Yeah, pretty important. I think that I've put more focus in the relationships with the stand-up comedy side, because stand-up comedy is you're in person at an event. Where writing is, it's just you and a laptop. So fostering the relationships in writing is more just the online stuff of, you know, sent out emails. I've answered emails, but stand-up comedy is more, way more like after a show, I'm talking to people, just having conversations, and that's, yeah.
I'm curious, would you classify yourself as more of like a type A person or extrovert, introvert? Like, how do you think about yourself? Do you think about yourself that way?
Yeah, I'm definitely a lot more introverted than extroverted, but over these past couple of years, I've found myself trying to stop being such a recluse, because that's something I've done for a very long time, and it's being a complete recluse isn't a very satisfying, happy life, I found. So I'm working on trying to, you know, get out there more.
Well, I was just in a meeting right as you contacted me with a client. And one of the things we're talking about is, like, he's a type A personality. And I'm someone who had to learn how to be outgoing. Like, yeah. I my wife was very introverted, and it's been difficult for her making friends. And as a musician for 20 years, I had to learn how to pretend, I guess, that I was an extrovert. Like, I liked the performing part of it. Having to talk to people after the performing part of it was always like, oh, can't I just go, like, lurk back to the bar, back of the bar, and drink my Diet Coke and, like, ignore people?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's like the dream is, like, if I can just get to the point where I don't have to talk to people, then I'm like, oh, this is amazing. But, you know, it's good to get out. Build that connection.
But it's such a key part of the puzzle for people wanting to buy into you.
Yeah.
I'm curious, do you have kind of like the story that you have of who you are, and like, you, I guess your author story it would be. Like,
yeah.
You feel like that's part of how people connect with you? Do you feel like that takes away from or adds to the actual books that you release?
Yeah, I think that just part of my story is like author, stand-up comedian, and that's a huge part of my image and identity. So I do feel like, yeah, like that's a part of who I am. And it's been that way for a very long time. And I feel like without it, I'd lose a huge part of my identity. And it's like, I wouldn't really know who I am anymore. So, yeah, no, really. Like, it's just like, yeah.
Well, and I guess something like your overt, like if I go to your landing webpage right now, is it going to be a stand-up comic telling you the tales? Is that the idea behind it?
No, it's a more subtle bio. It's just like all the things I've done. Just like I have all my writing credits, my stand-up credits. So those are like the main two things. I don't really have anything else. I don't have like I don't have like my personality traits. Like, I don't have like I'm an asshole. But it's just like, no, it's
right on. So tell me, I'm curious because I'm a big sci-fi fan myself. Giving a little bit about like what the concept behind the story is, and then where the story is going to be going in the future.
Yeah, for sure. So this book, it's about a human commander in a military. So pretty much a while ago in the world of Hive, a alien invasion happened from a hive mind alien, and that nearly destroyed all of Earth. They pretty much toppled the government, and humans were able to defeat it, but the world is now fractured. So there's small pockets of humanity left, and they're hunting the last of the alien. But then they discover that the alien is actually growing a lot stronger than they originally thought. And it's there's more to the alien than just that it was some invasion. There's a reason behind it. And yeah, they slowly discover that. In terms of where the story is going, the series is about multiple planets. So the Hive is on Earth, which is the first book. And the next book will, this story is completed, but there's more to it. But the next book is on another planet, which is its own story, which will eventually collide with the other stories. So
I'm curious, was there any like films or anything like that kind of inspired? Like, I'm getting like a Slither, or kind of like a what's the one that I like by Verhoeven there, Robert Heinlein, Starship Troopers. Like, kind of, it's like a Starship Troopers kind of vibe to us.
Starship Troopers, I get that a lot, but I hadn't seen the movie before I wrote it. And then I wrote the book and I watched the movie. I love the movie, but yeah, it definitely has that a similar tone.
Well, what's fun about that, Verhoeven obviously leans into the comedy very heavily. Yeah. He's not a stand-up comic. So I want to read this book. I'm like, so am I going to be kind of like, oh, the funny guy made a less funny book than the guy who's not the funny guy?
Yeah. No, there is some humor. It's not the focus, but I did add a lot. I always made sure to add some humor to break up the dark tone. But yeah, I had a lot of fun. Just like, there's more of a comic relief character who I really had a lot of fun writing. That was just to bring the story up a bit when it's such a dark tone.
As long as there's no Jar Jar Binks in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no Jar Jar. No, nothing like that. Way worse. No.
Well, I'm intrigued if you could do it way worse. Like, that's a tall order.
Well, I don't think Jar Jar Binks was that bad. I don't, he was never funny, but it was just like, you know.
Well, I like Jar Jar Binks if you've ever like done the expectation was he was supposed to be some grand Sith overlord.
Oh, yeah, I've heard
and
that.
He was just like playing stupid the whole series.
Yeah.
That was way more interesting to me than what actually happened.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you had like advice to give to somebody who's doing this on their own, they're doing the self-publishing thing, What are the things you think are most important for them to think about and focus on?
I'd say the number one thing during the writing process is when you're winding down of like completing the book, make sure you get honest feedback. And I think that honest feedback isn't going to come from family and friends. Just get it from someone outside of that who has no connection to you so they can give you their honest opinion. And that helps a lot with making your writing better. Usually get a few, like 3 or 4 people, and personally, I find that when I get feedback, if I hear the same thing consistently, that means, okay, yeah, you should really change this or take it into consideration. But it's like, if you have 4 people and one person says, I don't like this thing, that doesn't mean you have to change it. But just getting honest feedback is very important. Another thing, too, is making sure you get a professional editor. I made the mistake of not doing that, and then I had to get a new editor to really tighten and complete things. And then, yeah.
And then you've paid 2 editors, and now I'm like, I gotta waste all this money on this whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. So it was that's the thing. So it was like, just get it. It's just one of those things that you don't want to cheap out on. It's just like buying a good jacket. Like, get one good winter jacket, and you're good for years. So
it's like I know I've looked at, because I'm a voice person, I've, you know, looked at some of the stuff that people post of their books to be read on ACX, whatever it is, the Amazon service. And I have to question how some of these people think that this book is going to be anything other than a comedy act.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like, man, you really should have got an editor.
Yeah.
I don't even know what this sentence is saying.
Yeah.
I don't know how to act it because I don't know what you mean.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, where can people go to check you out, learn more about you?
Yeah, for sure. They can go to my website, www.jeremiahyou.com. So that just has all my links for my book. You can also find me on Amazon at, which it's hard to say my last name, but if you look up Hive, Jeremiah, UKPONREFE, that's where you'll find it.
Well, you're going to have to say it because I want to know how badly I've been saying it in my head.
Yeah, for sure. Jeremiah Umporefe. But it's like, if I say that and people are listening, they can't. They're not going to know how to spell it.
Yeah, there's a few silent letters in there from what I could tell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the best place is just on my website, www.jeremiahyou.com. And that's where, you know, you can find everything. And there's a free preview for the book if you want to check it out. So, yeah.
Hey, obviously, there's a mailing list on there that people can sign up. Yeah. You learned that lesson, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Jeremiah. Said, hopefully people can learn from others' mistakes. And by the time I'm done with this podcast, everyone's going to be able to put out books of no problems, real easy. You know, just boom, bang them out right from the get.
Yeah.
Do you fancy yourself the next Tolkien, Lewis, or Barker? Maybe you just have something subversive to say. Hopefully this podcast is helping you. But maybe your ambitions are just a little bigger than you can handle on your own. Head over to ironagemarketing.com and let Nikki P. help ensure your book doesn't release to nobody.